Yeah. No, I'm just, okay. I'm quick. I'm very quick.
All right.
Sharp. I'm very sharp.
All right. Time is, honestly, it's 5:30 in the morning, so I have to
put out some
fertig los. Yeah. No, I got up at 5, was ready to record at 5:15, but you were just doodling. Like, we should be 10 minutes away from finishing the first episode right now.
Okay. Well, we can be.
And you could always be 0 minutes away. Yeah, of course. If you understand how that works.
Yeah. All right. I understand time.
All right. Auf die Plätze. Fertig. Los. Hello and welcome to episode 446 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Who sounds more excited, me or you?
I was trying to be less excited. Usually I'm the excited one.
Yeah, that sounds right. It's 5:30 a.m. here.
Sweet.
It's like, you know what it feels like? Hockey practice.
Yeah.
They still do that? They still do the 5:30, the 5 a.m. practices?
Not for us, because we elect to play house league. So house league doesn't practice 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, see, it was the opposite when I was in house league. It was like, yeah, you're just house. You gotta practice at 5:30.
Oh, really? Nobody would be there.
Oh. All right, well, yeah, we would go. That was our only deal. It's like that. Okay, it's your house league. The rep guys, they get like Sunday afternoon at 1 or something, but nope. 5:45 before school.
Sweet.
Good times. Just like right now. Alarm clocks. You need an alarm clock for that. I would buy mine on Amazon.
Yeah.
Do you have an alarm clock still?
Yeah.
Just like your phone?
No, like a clock radio.
Do you really?
Yeah, really.
Is there still radio?
Yeah.
Oh. C Fox is Jeff? Who are they? Who's on C Fox?
I just listen to the sports talk radio, so I don't know. Okay. Yeah.
CFMI?
I listen to the Team 1040.
Okay. See, that we used to be...
Keep it local.
Ironically, that used to be the teen radio station, 1040 Kicks. And they changed formats. There you go. All right. Nobody cares, but if you are going to buy your alarm clock, buy it on Amazon, click through our site. Help us out.
Sure. Why not?
What's going on, Adam?
Just 2 more weeks of baseball.
Okay.
Yeah.
The listeners are looking forward to it being done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's overwhelming. And so, yeah, 2 more weeks where we'll play a bazillion games and then it'll be all over.
Right. And then you wind up with what, provincials on the August long weekend?
Yeah. And then after the provincials on the August long weekend, then it's kind of chillax mode for the rest of the summer.
Right. All right.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Just to remind people, because of the schedule, the summers, we're going into our summer. This is the beginning, technically the beginning of our summer hoser schedule, which means potentially shorter episodes. I say potentially because we tried last week, but Adam rambled.
No, it wasn't me.
We'll play the tape back. Hang on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you playing it?
No. I'm not going to play it back. Come on now. So anyways, point being, we're going to shorten these up a little bit, not necessarily have proper topics, and keep it tight so that we can have a show every week, a new show every week. We don't want to miss any weeks. So there's that. Had Stadtfest last weekend.
Okay.
Kind of cool. I think I told you about that. It was the big giant party they have in town. We sell beer and cocktails and stuff, and it goes to like late.
Okay.
It was good times. Never mind.
So you drank beer.
No, I served beer.
Okay, you didn't drink any?
never get high in your own supply, Adam.
Okay.
didn't you see Ice Cube in Ice-T in New Jack City?
Yeah, I sure did.
That was like a documentary, I thought, for business stuff.
Right.
None of this sounds like it's flowing off my tongue.
No, it's 5:30.
Been a long time since I've seen that movie.
Tell us about this festival of beer serving.
It was just a good time. We put a lot of pictures up, which was the team photo I took for the with the entire organization. Got that blown up and displayed there, and it somehow survived the torrential rain, which I don't know how that happened. We had super horrible rain the first night, and that survived, and a number of the magazine covers were up and around, so that was kind of cool. People seemed to like that. And yeah, that was it. Served some drinks, had some fun, tried to wingman for the young guys on the team. Always a good move.
Yeah, how'd that go?
It's okay. Did all right. The young guys need to step up their game a little bit. I'll be honest with you, but I'm actually not a bad wingman. If you look out there, speaking of today, the trailer for Top Gun 2 dropped.
Oh, wow.
So speaking of wingman,
is Tom Cruise in it?
Yeah. It looks fantastic. It looks phenomenal.
Kelly McGillis?
No, she's not.
Okay.
I believe Jennifer Connelly is stepping into that role. Not that role, but probably different character, but
love interest.
There you go. As far as I can tell, Ed Harris is in it. You can't go wrong here. This is when we're done here, I urge you to check it out.
I will.
I'm a fan. I'm actually a huge Tom Cruise fan. I can't think of the words this morning. All the controversy surrounding his private life, which I have no idea what's true, what's not. I've, never met the guy. He's a phenomenal, phenomenal movie star. And I can't imagine that you can point to many movies that he's in that you can't watch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm daring you to pick one.
Yeah, I like Tom Cruise movies.
Yeah. As goofy and terrible as it is, you could start the movie Cocktail and get all the way through it.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it is a bad movie. Not really.
Elizabeth Shue
kind of saves it. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Because I think I'm on record on the show as saying that she was probably 9/10 of awesome.
Yeah.
Wait, that was her 100%.
Heyday. That was her heyday for sure.
Yes, Karate Kid, the whole Karate Kid Cocktail run.
Yeah, and yeah. The honeymoon in Vegas.
Leaving Las Vegas.
Oh, that's what it was.
Sorry. Very different movie.
Yeah, yeah. The other one was about an alcoholic, what's his nuts?
Yeah. Nick Cage in both.
Nick Cage, that's right. Oh, that's right, he is in both.
He's in both. That's right. Hey, I know that now, okay. Yeah, solid.
Great impersonation.
It's wonderful. I know the people were wondering how I got Nick Cage from 1990s Nick Cage. So, anyways, point being, anyone out there looking for a wingman, I'm your guy.
Okay.
Had a couple beers with a listener a couple nights ago.
Wow.
Did that. Listener was in town, reached out and said, so that's Malcolm. His name's Malcolm. And
where's he from?
Parts unknown.
Oh, but is he European?
It depends. Tick tock. Which was a solid joke that he didn't like that much. He's originally British. Hence, we don't know that by the time this airs in a couple of days, he might not be European. We'll see how that goes with the Brexit. But point being, I wasn't gonna give his life story here on the show.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah. I just weird, like he was traveling and he got in contact with you because he was coming to Germany and thought, I'm gonna, what local celebrity I'm gonna meet up with?
Yeah,
podcasting legend and
Chris Marquardt. But he was unavailable.
Two Hosers guest once in a while, Chris Marquardt.
Yeah, yeah. The No, he's actually one of the few people who discovered Chris Marquardt from our show.
Wow.
Yeah, he's the one guy who went the other way.
Well, no, there's probably four or five of those guys.
You might be rounding up. Anyway, so actually I took a photo of him at the beer garden because he was going to be my snapshot challenge this week. But he isn't. Spoiler alert, he's not. But there okay. He is going for the pour. Yeah. Anyways, point being, the cool thing is this is providing a nice little rip in the space-time continuum because he found our show like a year ago and just started listening. So he's been binge listening in the last year. And so he's somewhere up over episode 300.
Wow, so, that's impressive.
And so anyways, point being is he won't hear this until he gets through another 150. So maybe six months, I assume, if I'm doing the math correctly. So he'll hear this in 6 months. Which is kind of weird to me. But also weird to me is that this is like that Christopher Nolan movie, Interstellar, like when the whole time is getting bent, right? It's probably as epic. If I had some background music,
yeah.
If I had Hans Zimmer providing the score for this conversation, I think it'd be a tie.
Okay.
So anyways, point being, there he is. He is at episode 300, and he knows you and I up to episode 300. So even he was joking. He's like, yeah, I have no idea if you still only have two kids, if you're still married. I don't know. And I was like, okay, do I spoil it for you, or what do you want to know? Yeah. So I'm sitting there I'm technically year and a half ago, or 2 years ago, Alan, having a conversation with him.
Right.
Which I found mind-blowing.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So, I spoiled a bunch of stuff, though. Told him a bunch of... Yeah. Like, he did... I think you had just bought your little Sony camera.
Okay.
That's the Adam he knew.
Right.
Okay. So, that was... When I whipped out my X100, he's like, well, I did not know you had that. So, there you go. That's the whole... All right, enough of this.
Okay.
All right. Reminder, monthly challenge for July is golden. Hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, hashtag Hey Hosers on Instagram, and be sure to tag us, and that way we will for sure see it. I've found that a couple of the hashtags, even though I follow hashtags now, which is a thing, you can follow a hashtag, which means nothing to you,
mm-hmm.
Adam, specifically.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, it means a little bit to me, kind of. So I think I follow the hashtags, but we missed a couple of photos. They just didn't come through. And I even reached out, I accidentally found one, reached out to the listener and said, hey, why is this not happening? And even he said, hey, I don't know. He saw it too, like it wasn't coming through. So if you tag us, we will make sure to see it as well. Okay. All right. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Yeah, I did actually.
All right. We'll be the judge of that. Thank you.
Okay. I did some photos at the ball field. We did a photo day for the kids for our baseball team. And I did some, well, I'll talk about one part of the photos that I shot. I did some high speed sync action photos of the kids catching balls as they're going over the fence. So for those who don't follow baseball, kind of a highlight reel play outside of hitting home runs would be, you know, catching a ball like you see in the big league players kind of run, jump up on the fence and kind of pull back a home run, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So the coach kind of had told the kids, like, you know, this will be fun if we try to do this. And so I thought, okay, well, how am I going to shoot this? Because he thought this would be a fun photo. I've never seen this photo. I thought, oh, this sort of sounds like something that somebody must have done for a fun photo shoot, like maybe posed on a chair or something. Could not find an example of this photo, which I thought was odd. So so I thought, okay, well, this is how I would do it. And he tossed balls right just over and above the fence, and the kids basically timed it and ran out and tried to snag them as they were going over the fence. I had one of the coaches stand with a couple of, you know, speed lights set in high speed sync ETTL mode and just kind of direct it from more or less a similar angle to where the sun was coming from. But I wanted to make sure it specifically kind of hit the kids and made sure, depending on whatever angle their face was at, that I was going to be able to see their faces. So that's it. That's ETTL high speed sync and just toss the ball up. I used a wide angle lens for this. I thought it would look cool because we had a nice sky that day. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to get low. I'm going to shoot high. I'm going to do something that looks totally different than anything that I would normally think to shoot here, and shot some sort of a wide angle kind of action photos with flash. So something totally different than I would usually do.
And you've got like a nice background in behind too. Nothing. I mean, it is odd because it's wide open and not a typical baseball field, but it's also not distracting.
Yeah, it's a pretty kind of generic behind the fence look, yeah.
Yeah, but it's nice and wide open and there's nothing there. I mean, it's very nice looking and not a ton of people, obviously. There might be one person in one shot, maybe not. But if so, they're a speck off in the distance. And it might not. It might actually be something on the fence now that I'm looking at it, but that's irrelevant. Like you would look at our park here in Tübingen, not a nice backdrop. Well, one side would be okay. But that's nice to have. So yeah, so shooting with the wide is a, you know, that's a good idea. Otherwise it would look cooked, which this is cooked, obviously.
Yeah.
Because of the lighting, because it definitely doesn't resemble, well, it looks lit, but it still looks cool lit.
Right. Yeah. It's not overkill. And I think, you know, you and I would sort of see it as lit. I'm not sure that, random person who looked at this photo would know that it was lit?
Probably not.
Yeah. They would just think, huh, that's kind of cool looking.
Yeah, that sun is hitting him perfectly in the face.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And,
it's
funny because this is the little bit later than this, because I get all the kids, you know, kids grew up early, you know, younger now. This was our move. Everybody wanted to pull back a home run.
Yeah.
Like that was a big deal. It wasn't likely to happen when we were playing when I was this age, it wasn't a thing. It was home runs were few and far between. And even then, if you weren't pulling them back, cause they were on the road they're on Westminster Highway.
Right.
But, we used to practice this all the time and I've never had it happen in a game. I've had it happen against us. I've seen it happen against us like 2 years ago here in the German league. But it home run robbing is so rare. It is a unicorn, man.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is such a highlight play. So when you see it in the majors, like it's one of those things that's like, yeah, of course you want to practice this as a kid.
Yeah,
it's the coolest. So these look really cool. I mean.
And like I say, when the coach said it to the kids were super excited about it. And then I thought, huh, how am I going to do that? Like, I hadn't really thought about the logistics of it, right? And so we had kind of spent the majority of our time doing other photos that we'll talk about on another episode. And then this was kind of like, oh, let's go do this. And we've got, you know, 10 minutes to do it. Parents are coming to pick up the kids. So there wasn't a lot of time. So we basically just ran out there. And then that's why I went ETTL, set the exposure, shoot wide, and then I can crop and if I want to, and then, you know, I went, I'm gonna go low so they jump up, because I really thought the sky was gonna be a much more cool background than the green grass. So I kept the sky big in the frame and the grass small. And then again, the fence plays a big role because it's a pretty high fence. Like, this is a much higher fence than our kids would normally play at. And and you know, they were all pretty good at actually catching the balls as they were thrown over the fence. Some of them, you get the ball right before it hits the glove. Some of them, you know, it's kind of, you can't see it that well because it's in the glove, but the action just looks cool. And they all have a different way of going about it, like a different kind of midair pose. So I think we ran through the group. They each got about three tries at it. And I got at least one good photo of each kid doing it this way. Cause you're only really with the high speed sync here, I'm only getting one click at it. So I'm not even watching the coach who's throwing the ball. I'm just basically waiting for the kid to hit sort of the apex of his jump, and then I'm just snapping whatever's there at that moment.
And you're shooting, you know, you said wide open. So are you right at 17?
Pretty close. I might not be right at 17, but I'm definitely at the wide end of that lens.
Looks like 25 on one of them.
Okay.
And 17 on the other. One of them is 17.
Yeah, one of them I was like basically lying down on the grass shooting up, and then the other one I'm a little bit more of a more traditional angle, I guess.
And you're still getting a shutter speed, aperture of f5.
Yeah,
which is decent at ISO 320 and lets you kill at 1/1600th, lets you kill that ambient, like basically not overexpose the sky.
Right.
This is later in the evening, correct?
Yeah, not too late. 6:18. Yeah, exactly. I thought I would have been nice if it was an hour later, then I could have probably done it just with all ambient light. But right. Yeah, it was a little bit earlier than what I've liked, but yeah, still was a good time to do it.
I think the flash. I think you need the flash on this. That it would really supplements it.
Yep.
And it's kind of cool, like the way, you know, it's not casting any terrible shadows. Like the light is on the other side of the fence, or it's on
the same side, because I didn't want it to go through the fence and then really be obvious with the shadows coming through the fence. So coach is standing on the near side. You can see it's hitting a bit of the yellow kind of translucent cover that's to the top of the fence. It's hitting a little bit on the near side. Yeah, exactly. So that's basically where the fella standing just off camera to the right.
Okay. Yeah. No, it looks good. And then at that, you know, at wide open at F5, even though it's not super stopped down, you still look at a reasonably deep depth of field.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't have to work
focus wise. Did you have to do, you know, were you doing, tracking focus, or did you?
No. It was just a trap. I basically set the focus on where that ring was, because I knew their faces were going to be pretty close to in line with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just focused there. And then, like I said, I'm not looking at the kids at all. I'm just looking at that spot, and then told the coach where I basically wanted him to toss the ball, kind of in the middle of that panel. And he basically hit the spot every time. So nice. That helps. That helps when you have a good tosser in this situation.
Yeah, for sure. Sure. No, that looks really cool. The kids must be pretty thrilled with these. Or just completely, you know, immune to it now.
No, I think they like the. I think they like. I only just sent this stuff out tonight, but it was funny too, because see that bar halfway up the fence. In one of the photos, you can see it better. In one photo, Jack's kind of knee is outstretched.
Uh huh.
And the one where you can actually see the ball in his glove, he hits that fence so hard that the entire side, his left leg. Massive bruise, like just humongous, really? Like about 12 inches long by like the entire length of his thigh by about 3 or 4 inches high, like just all purple and green from smacking that side of his leg like that right into that bar. Yeah.
See, so you got to go the other way. You got to get that left foot off the bar and get you hit the fence and jump off the fence.
Yeah. Well, that's what he's doing in the other one.
Oh, I see. Okay.
In the other one, he's kind of got his cleats into the fence and he's getting higher from jump springboarding, basically. But in the other one, he was just so bent on catching that ball that he took it for the picture, I guess is the way you'd put it. Yeah.
That's actually the better photo. Anyway, you can see the ball. That one's going on the wall then.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to remind him that, that's when you broke your knee. How was that when you tore your ACL that day, but hey, good photo.
Yeah, great photo though.
Yeah. All right.
There you go.
I have another cover. We have a home game this Saturday, tomorrow.
Okay.
Last Saturday, as you're hearing this, was supposed to be an away game. Date got switched the last second, so I just scramble and put together a cover that I kind of had in the back of my mind. I wanted to do a takeoff, a sort of a joke of Ocean's 11, the Clooney movie,
right?
It's weird to say, it's like, you know, the remake, but it's 18 years old on its own, which is weird.
Yeah, it seems like it shouldn't be that old.
Mm-hmm. But here we are. Anyway, So wanted to do that, and so this is what I sent you the original as well yesterday for comparison, so you can compare to. So what this wasn't just kind of out of nowhere, like, all right, here's what we're doing. It's sort of a takeoff on the original poster,
right?
Thoughts.
I'm looking at that now. Uh-huh. I like it, except the last guy, his head looks enormous relative to the size of his body.
Yeah, that's just life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my only complaint is, wow, does that guy have a big head? Like, he must have to go to a special hat store.
Yeah.
Either I'm not he's sure. Got a tiny body. Maybe he just has a tiny body.
I think it's all of those things. He is studying to be a lawyer, so a smart guy. Maybe his head's just jam full of knowledge and thus appears large on camera.
Maybe he's like Barry Bonds and he's been juicing so much that his head is just getting three times its normal size.
Yeah, I don't think that's the thing. Yeah. Yeah. The reason he's in this is, he's the only guy on the team who owns a suit.
Oh, okay.
He was actually going to have his own cover. He was going to have his own cover later in the year, but we needed a fourth guy. And I was like, as it is, the guy next to him, who's the guy who lives down the street from you, by the way, in the blue tie.
Okay.
As it is, he and I are wearing the same suit.
Like, oh, that you passed it over?
Yeah. And then the guy next to me, Alex, he's wearing a different suit, one of my suits that I had a long time ago that I literally just dug out of the attic, which you can tell by their giant wrinkle in the arm.
Right.
Like, yeah. It looks like not only did he buy it off the rack was at Value Village, and then he slept in it for a year. and so very un-Brad Pitt. Like, he doesn't look, I don't think, no one's mistaking him for Brad Pitt based on that suit.
Yeah. That is a nasty looking wrinkle.
I did the best I could. Like I said, this was a last minute thing. Like, oh no. And I wasn't going to get that suit dry cleaned because the dry cleaning would cost more than the suit is worth. So at that point you're like, all right. Anyways, the other takeaway is that, like, I wanted to try to replicate the lighting in the original, which turns out was actually very difficult, you know? Like, if you look at the original, like, the Andy Garcia, not so much with the backlighting. Like, he doesn't have, he's pretty flatly lit. Right?
Yeah, which is weird, because it shouldn't work that way with what's going on behind him, yeah.
No. But I was like, okay, I'm going to try to stay true to it. So I kind of lit him somewhat flat. And then you can see with the Matt Damon character, it's now the backlighting is starting. So he's not crazily backlit, but he's got some. So I added a little bit when we shot Braden. And then Alex has the Brad Pitt guy has he's got a lot more hair light, which I didn't quite nail. I was trying to get a lot more of that, but it was blowing out the jacket, and I couldn't get quite the balance. So I think I got it close, not quite.
Okay.
And then the obvious challenge came with shooting me. I kind of wanted to get, like, if you look at Clooney, he's kind of got that on, like, his right arm, he's kind of got that low light, that low, like, nice glow coming from the bottom. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't, I didn't have time. It was very, you know, very, I didn't want to spend 2 hours tweaking that. And, very difficult to light yourself in that situation.
Okay.
And then meanwhile you have, you know, Alex, not a photographer. He's behind the camera. You know, I'm trying to explain live view to him. You know, how to get in. Okay, click that button. Now focus on my eye. Okay, now click back out. Okay, now take the picture. Okay, I was talking in that one. Okay, yeah, I was explaining to you how to take this picture. So, anyways, we had fun with it. I don't think it's our funniest one. But
no,
all right. This is where you go, hey, no, it's pretty good.
It's hilarious.
You know? Now you're overselling it. but even the theater in the background, I went into town. That's the Leuven, means lion, by the way. It's a old movie theater here in Tübingen, and I use that for a very specific background. So it all ties into to Tübingen.
Well, good job.
Awesome. That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
All right, photo challenge. Snapshot.
Yeah.
Why don't you go first, since I've just done all the talking?
Okay.
What makes yours a snapshot?
Because, I don't know, I grabbed my camera. I said, hey, can you guys take a nice photo together? This was basically moments after we did our team photo. Mm-hmm. So we did the team photo, and then everyone was kind of packing up and leaving. And I said, oh, you know, these are the guys that I did like the magazine cover of a month ago, whenever that was. And mm-hmm. I said, I want to get a photo of you guys together. And they agreed. And so at first, before I could get them posed, they were just monkeying around and laughing and doing these kind of weird kind of gestures, not cooperating other than the kid in the middle. And so I just snapped that. That's what makes it a snapshot.
And you like this?
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I was trying to sort of play devil's advocate there. It's a podcasting trick I use to draw you out of your shell.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I learned it back in grade 11 when we were doing podcasting.
And you know what's funny is that I had looked at this photo a number of times. Mm-hmm. And not until I sort of uploaded it and looked at it, you know, for the sake of the podcast, did I even notice that both, you know, Jack's hand and the kid on the far right's hand are both totally blurred with mm-hmm. with motion blur. Didn't even notice. That's because to me that was exactly the example of, again, makes it a snapshot, is that the photo is kind of about their faces and expressions, and the fact that their hand was blurry, I mean, I didn't even notice that.
No, and I mean, I did notice that the kid on the right, I did notice it, but it wasn't like, oh, good job, you know.
Yeah.
Way to blow it.
Yeah.
Not at all. No, it is definitely part of it. Like that's okay. So this is a nice shot. It's a great moment. You know, buddies having some fun.
Yeah, good time of night. And the photo that actually where they're all smiling, I don't even think I put it in there. It's a good photo. It looks like a posed photo of three kids smiling, right? Like this is more of a moment. And I guess that's how I was defining snapshot, as just more of a moment, like not something that was so posed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree. So well done. And not lit. This is just the ambient light.
Yeah, good light. And I mean, I could have used the photo I took 5 seconds later, you know, but that to me would have been more of a posed portrait.
And you can have, in my opinion, I mean, this is we'll talk a little bit about what snapshots are. You can have flash in a snapshot.
Sure.
I don't think you can have it off camera flash. So I think that is probably a bridge too far.
Yeah, I agree.
If you have it on camera flash or on camera bounce flash, I think that's fair game. And that still, sure, still falls in with the snapshot because it is kind of a, you know, a momentary thing. But as soon as you start taking it off the camera and trying to light it, no longer. That's what I figure. And not just because of the visual aesthetic, it's sort of how you're taking the photo changes what the photo is.
I agree.
All right. So with mine was going to be, if you go back and see the shot of listener Malcolm, who is now listening to this in the year 2020. How's life in 2020, Malcolm? The reason I didn't include this is it's reasonable. Like, this is actually taken, it is very, very, very dark when I snap this, but the X100 does a really good job of seeing in the dark. I think this is ISO probably 3200 f2 and like 1/20th of a second on the shutter, but you still get a very, very, very good image. You see there is some grain in, you know, especially in the out of focus parts, but still you have for the amount of light that exists here, very, very solid image.
Yes.
The reason it didn't stick as the snapshot challenge is there's very little going on emotion-wise. Like, this is a very good documentation of pouring the end of a pitcher of Keller beer at the Neckermuller. If that's what you're looking for, mission accomplished. I wanted something with a little more emotion, a little more life to it. And so my kids last night were out playing in the front yard and then toward in the evening, having some ice cream. And I just grabbed the X100, grabbed a snapshot of them in a little kind of, you know, goofy moment. And I think even though it might not be as solid a technical photo, a lot more life to it.
Mm. Yeah, it's good. I like it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a snapshot. Snapshots aren't, you know, on the wall at the Guggenheim, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
But it could be.
But it is a good photo.
It is, yeah, completely reasonable. And but what I think, what makes this a snapshot, besides the obvious, to me, and it's funny because now you can argue the counterpoint, is I shot this with the full frame equivalent 35 millimeters, which means you got to get in close, right?
Yeah.
Whereas you shot yours with the 85, is what the EXIF tells me.
Yeah.
And so that's a little bit different. Now you're standing back. Now the kids were aware that you were there.
Oh yeah.
So it's not a situation of like you were across the street picking a shot off with a long lens, which, you know, is that still a snapshot? It's definitely a candid, but is it a snapshot? I kind of, in my head, what makes a snapshot is that the subject of your photo pretty much knows that you're there. Whether they acknowledge you or not, like in my case, my kids are actually ignoring me, but whether they, you know, smile for the camera or just are in their own little world, you are still so close that you, the photographer, are part of that final image.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
And it can be engaging. And so what I find about what is appealing about the snapshot specifically is that the viewer should sort of take the place of the photographer. Like they should be engaged in the photo and welcomed into the photo. Whereas like for example, like your challenge last week where you had the coach talking to the players before the game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after yeah.
Okay, right. So you have that. So I would say that that's not a snapshot. That's more of a just a candid. It's a photograph, obviously, but a candid. But because you're on a long lens and you are outside that circle looking in, I wouldn't say that's necessarily a snapshot. It's not a snapshot, really, but I'm just kind of going off what I'm thinking of, like your standard photo album from when you were a kid.
Gotcha.
I guess. So what I'm getting at is that when you're in close and shooting this way, you do essentially corrupt the subject, meaning it's likely it's no longer necessarily a candid, because as soon as they become aware of your presence, it's no longer a candid photo or necessarily.
Right.
But it is inclusive for the viewer. So, yes or no, is that a fair trade-off?
Mm. I don't think there's a right answer to that.
What do you think, though? I'm asking what you think. Like, is that acceptable to you? Are you willing to corrupt the subject in order to include the viewer?
Yes, I am.
Good answer. I was worried there.
I also think that, like, if you're someone who always has a camera around, it's less of a corruption.
Ah.
Because they just kind of get used to you being there. And then they, you know, if you only ever take the camera out once a year, then absolutely it's going to corrupt the subject because they're very aware of it. For my kids, and at this point, the baseball team, I'm just a fly on the wall. Like they're so used to me having a camera, whether it's a video camera or a photography camera, like everybody just pays no mind to it.
They call you Diane Fossey, I've heard.
Yeah, that's or just Fossey.
Well, that's confusing because it could be Bob Fosse, legendary choreographer. So I'll talk to them. DeFoss. We'll go with DeFoss.
Okay. All right.
All right. So that's a quick snapshot of snapshots. See what I did there? I know. Yeah. That's why they gave me the keys to the podcast, dude.
Yeah.
All sure. right. Reminder, monthly photo challenge for July is golden. Hashtag that two hosers or hashtag hey hosers on Instagram. Be sure to tag two hosers and we'll check that out in 2 weeks. Challenge for next week, Adam. Available light portrait.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a great one. Websites, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at alanatrich.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.